This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. What up, what up, what up? It's Dean Bakari. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is about rules for life. Specifically, it was inspired by a best-selling book called The 12 Rules for Life, written by Jordan B. Peterson, who is a former Harvard and current University of Toronto professor and clinical psychologist. He is a very intense dude, and this book is very aggressively in your face, you know, characteristically written. It's a very intense kind of self-help book, but it's a powerful one. I don't necessarily agree with everything that's in the book, but I do agree with a good bit of the advice that he presents in the book, and it's good stuff. It's packed with a lot of nuggets of wisdom, a lot of great big ideas, and in this episode, I'm going to share with you three of the rules, the big ideas that he shares in the book. And the first one that he shares is to stand up straight with your shoulders back. And in the book, he writes that standing up straight with your shoulders back is something that's not only physical, because you're not only a body, you're a spirit, so to speak, a psyche as well. Standing up physically also implies and invokes and demands standing up metaphysically. Standing up means voluntarily accepting the burden of being. Now, the straightforward, obvious directive here from this first rule is to just stand up straight with your shoulders back. But the explanation that he tells us in the book is really, really interesting. And he starts by using an example from nature, the humble lobster. And it turns out that we are actually very much so connected with lobsters, because 350 million years ago, it's a long time, 350 million years ago, we actually diverged evolutionarily from the lobsters. And to this day, we actually share a very, very subtle circuit at the base of our brains that has like this biological response when we confront other people. And it's sort of a pathway to leading into understanding social hierarchy and dominance and things of that nature. And he explains a lot of it in the book, and he explains that the importance of understanding dominance is crucial to how society works and how we as individuals work. And he tells us that order and chaos, which are two big themes in his book, work together, and how paying attention to your posture, speaking your mind, walking tall, and being daring encourages a neurochemical called serotonin to flow through your body and your biology, your brain and your body, and it portrays an image of competence to the rest of the world. And it starts by correcting your posture. Rather than slumping forward and protecting your chest, crouching with your chest in, which is the position that many of us are in, especially the majority of knowledge workers today, which is people who are sitting at their desks over a computer or hunched over their phones if they're not doing desk work, right? That can really mess with you. And it has a direct link to the way that you feel. When your posture's jacked up, when you're all hovered over and you're looking downward, your neck is tucked in, your shoulders are rounded, your chest is tucked in, I mean, that's not going to make you feel good. But when you're actually standing up straight, right, your chest is not necessarily protruding outward like you're trying to make up for some kind of inferiority complex, but is just out, right? Like you're feeling confident and your shoulders are back, right? Your neck is straight. You're standing up erect and tall. Then you're going to have a feeling of confidence and a sense of, you know, personal reliance. And it's a very powerful thing to change your posture. It's a very important thing that we should always be reminding ourselves of. Maybe even put a post-it note in front of your desk, right next to your computer or something, says, hey, you know, be mindful of your posture, be mindful of my posture. And that will really, really help you. And that it'll not only make you more confident, but it will also help you develop the grit that you need to be bold during difficult times. Going back to this lobster example that he talks about in the book. So he tells us that lobsters, you know, they actually fight a lot. And they're constantly bickering and fighting with each other. And when one lobster loses, he gets into a fight and he loses that fight, serotonin actually stops flowing through that lobster's body. And guess what? The lobster hunches over. His claws go in, right? And he starts drooping around and walking around like a loser. And he's actually less likely to win again in life, not just in a fight, but also with a mate and whatever else it is that lobsters do. And so everything goes down. His hierarchy level actually goes all the way down to the bottom of the totem pole. And on the other end of the spectrum, the lobster that wins, he starts to expand his body, takes up more space, his claws are outward, and he literally looks way bigger, even if he isn't. And that's exactly how this whole thing works with us human beings as well. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. And again, so if you correct your posture, you correct your confidence, and that'll help you develop grit to be bold during difficult times. It'll help you face the terror out there in the world that Peterson is talking about in this book. He's optimistic but dark at the same time. He tells us that, you know, there's a very chaotic world out there, and the idea is to find the right balance between chaos and order as individuals in our lives. Very interesting stuff. And so he sums up this first rule for life as follows. He tells us, so attend carefully to your posture. Quit drooping and hunching around. Speak your mind. Put your desires forward as if you had a right to them, at least the same right as others. Walk tall and gaze forthrightingly ahead. Dare to be dangerous. Encourage the serotonin to flow plentifully through the neural pathways, desperate for its calming influence. People, including yourself, will start to assume that you are competent and able, or at least they will not immediately conclude the reverse. And emboldened by the positive responses you are now receiving, you will begin to be less anxious. You will then find it easier to pay attention to the subtle social clues that people exchange when they are communicating. Your conversations will flow better, with fewer awkward pauses. This will make you more likely to meet people, interact with them, and impress them. Doing so will not only genuinely increase the probability that good things will happen to you, it will also make those good things feel better when they do. Powerful stuff. So the actionable insight here from this first rule, this first big idea, stand up straight with your shoulders back, is this. Oftentimes, your feelings are going to follow your physiology. So when you don't feel confident, stand up taller with your shoulders back. You'll appear more confident to others, and a chain reaction will then occur that, given time and consistency, is going to help you become a more confident and self-reliant individual. So that's rule number one. The second one I'm going to share with you from this book, rule number two, is to treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. And the book, he tells us that strengthen the individual, start with yourself, take care with yourself, define who you are, refine your personality, choose your destination, and articulate your being. You know, it's easier to show sympathy to other people, including animals, pets, other people, friends, family, than it is to ourselves, oftentimes. And part of the reason is because there's no greater critic than yourself, right? Who's your biggest critic? Oftentimes it's you. We get down on ourselves more often than we need to. We criticize ourselves more often than we need to. We think everybody else is talking trash and, you know, watching us and laughing at us and doing all this and that and the other. But really, honestly, most people don't give a shit. We make things bigger than they really are. And the self, that is you, you know all of your own flaws. Most people don't know them. And you should take care of yourself in the same way that you would take care of somebody else that you love. Rather than getting down on yourself, Peterson tells us in the book, give yourself some grace, baby. You have a responsibility to take care of yourself. Love yourself. You must consider what is truly good for you in your life, not what you necessarily want or what would make you happy in this moment, instantly gratifying yourself, but what is actually good for you over the long term. What do you want? Truly, what do you want? What are you working towards? What is a long-term vision that you have, right? And if you are striving towards that vision, that goal, whatever big thing you're trying to pursue, and you fail, don't let that detract you from going, getting back up and doing it again until you actually achieve your goal. And also, while you're at it, the actionable insight here from this one is to reward yourself on the path. Right? If you're doing unpleasant tasks that you don't necessarily want to do, first of all, connect those unpleasant tasks to the most meaningful long-term goal that you're probably pursuing, right? If you're doing something you don't necessarily want to do, then you're not going to do it unless you remind yourself of why you're actually doing it in the first place, right? For example, if you have a bunch of paperwork, right? That you need to go through, a bunch of mail that you need to go through, and a bunch of bills that you need to pay. Stuff that sucks to do, but stuff that you also know you need to do. Because if you don't do it, then your electricity is going to go out. If you don't do it, then you might lose out on a big opportunity. If you don't do it, then you're going to get kicked out of your apartment or your house or whatever, right? These are things that we need to keep up with. We need to maintain these basic duties of being a member of society, right? You got to open your bills, you got to open your mail, you got to see what's in there, you got to pay for whatever bills you have there, and you know, stuff like that, right? So as an example, an actionable insight here is to just make sure that when you're doing an unpleasant task that you don't want to do, number one, connect it to a longer term goal. Why are you doing this? Number two, make sure you follow through with the promised reward, a little reward. For instance, take yourself out for a little coffee break after you do a bunch of paperwork that you don't want to do. So that's a very simple example. But there's also other examples, bigger examples. So say you have the long-term goal of running a marathon, right? Now, it's awesome to do that, to run that marathon. It's going to feel phenomenal when you bust through that finishing line. But in order to do it, you're going to have to train. You might have to get up early before work and, you know, run 5 miles a day and then maybe progressively run up to 10 miles a day or whatever it is that you need to achieve on a regular basis in order to achieve that larger goal of running that marathon or finishing high on that marathon, whatever that goal is. And you might not necessarily want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's raining and it's 50 degrees outside and you got to go and run 7 miles around the block. You might not want to do that. That's when it's key to remember why you are doing this in the first place. And if that why is important enough, then you'll get up and you can do anything. All right? A couple other things that he talks about in this second rule, get to know yourself in the same way that you would get to know a new friend. Really get to know yourself. Are you friends with yourself? Do you love yourself? And then finally, articulate your principles. Discipline yourself. Keep the promises that you make with yourself. That is so crucial, so key in terms of maintaining your own personal sense of honor and dignity. Because if you make a promise to yourself, this is meaning, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to record this podcast. If I tell myself that I'm going to do this and I do not do that, then I have put a little dent in my honor, in my own personal sense of self-dignity. But if I do it, then I give myself another reference point to strengthen my own personal sense of self-dignity. You know what I'm saying? Now, the next rule that we're going to talk about from 12 Rules for Life is rule number 3. Make friends with people who want the best for you. Make friends with people who want the best for you. And so in the book, he tells us that people create their worlds with the tools that they have directly at hand. Faulty tools produce faulty results. Repeated use of the same faulty tools produces the same faulty results. That's a good one. In this rule, he tells us to not keep friends around that we would not recommend for a sister, a brother, or another loved one. If you're not comfortable, right? If you've got friends in your circle right now that you wouldn't be comfortable letting hang around with your significant other or your parents or your brother, sister, your siblings, then why are you hanging out with them? Why are you hanging out with them? Right? I actually learned about this idea, and this very similar question was posed to me by somebody a long time, probably about 6 or 7 years ago when I first moved out here to California. And, you know, I had some friends in my circle that weren't good for me, and I knew it. And a person that I very much so respect said to me, look, if you're not proud of these people and you wouldn't feel comfortable bringing these people around your own family, then what the hell are you doing hanging out with them? Respect yourself. And that made me think, I was like, you know what? I got to get rid of these vampires pronto. So that's what this one is about. Make friends with people who want the best for you, truly, right? You got to choose people who want the world to be a better place, not a worse place as well. You need to associate with people who support your upward aim and are not going to tolerate you when you self-sabotage, right? This means if you're friends with somebody that, and you can really tell when you watch the subtle cues that people give you, you tune in, right? Have you ever experienced, for instance, when you tell a friend, supposedly a friend of yours, about a great success that you've recently had or about a dream of yours that you want to achieve, and then you realize that their sort of body language changes a little bit. They don't, and then they start talking, you know, sort of maybe trying to convince you out of pursuing that dream or try to perhaps downplay the success you just told them about. You got to get rid of these fucking people immediately. Get them out of your life because those are not the people who are going to help you achieve the dreams that you want to achieve, live the life that you want to live, have that fulfilling lifestyle that you desire and deserve. Get those people out of your life. If you can't help them come up to where you're at, get them out. Seriously, get them out and replace them with people who will genuinely be happy for you when you succeed, who will genuinely egg you on and help you and encourage you when you tell them about a dream that you want to achieve rather than convince you out of it. They'll convince you into it when you're not as confident as you feel you should be as you're pursuing a dream. Those are the people you want to have around you. You want to, is somebody who, you'll rarely run into a truly successful person that will try to convince you out of a dream. Most people, because one of the reasons why people become successful in the first place is because they pursued those big giant dreams. And they know what it's like to have to do things that against what everybody else is telling you, right? They know what that feels like. And so they'll encourage you. They'll say, hey, man, it's possible. If nobody else has done it, then that means that you're going to be the first person to do it, right? So keep that in mind. It's very, very important. And the actionable insight from this rule, rule number three, is to just simply stop hanging around people who support your bad habits or who prevent you from achieving those goals you want to achieve. Instead, surround yourself with people who want you to succeed and push you to do so. All right? These are three of the 12 total rules for life from this book written by Jordan B. Peterson. If you want the full book summary and the rest of the rules that he talks about in the book, we've actually summarized them all over at getflashbooks.com. And that will be, actually, if it's not already live on getflashbooks.com, then it will be shortly because I'm literally recording this podcast immediately after I recorded the book summary for 12 Rules for Life. And so this will be going out in the next couple of days. And so anyways, listen, I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. If you want to pick up the book summary for this book, 12 Rules for Life, pick it up over at getflashbooks.com. Until next time, go out there every single day and live like you give a damn. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.